And let's go back now to our top story. Today's Senate Judiciary Committee hearing for Supreme Court nominee Judge Brett Kavanaugh and his accuser Christine Blasey Ford. Julian Zelitzer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University, has been riding along with us. And Julian, just for those who are just now able to tune in, she began her testimony by saying she was terrified, and this is something she hadn't wanted to do, but felt it was her civic responsibility, and laid out a story of a 15-year-old who was going to diving practice and afterwards went to what she said was a gathering of some friends at a house, and they included Brett Kavanaugh and Mark Judge. When she went upstairs to use a bathroom, she says someone pushed her from behind. She was in a bedroom, with Brett Kavanaugh, who she says attacked her, tried to take her clothing off, and Mark Judge was there as well. She's being questioned now by Democratic senators and by a prosecutor hired by the Republicans to ask questions for them. What's your reaction?
My first reaction is she remembers a lot. There is a lot of detail. There is a lot of very clear memory, even with some gaps about what happened and who did this. And I think listening to her, certainly many Republicans are realizing her credibility. And this is different than reading about her story. And so we're hearing some shuffling among Republicans about what to do next. And the whole format, my second reaction, is really odd, just to have someone essentially interrogating the alleged victim is an unusual structure for congressional hearings.
Well, let's remind people, because this all-male Republican part of the panel, the Senate Judiciary Committee, felt they needed to hire this female prosecutor to ask the questions for them, each questioner only gets 5 minutes. And so this female sex crimes prosecutor has to take her 5 minutes, get as far as she can, and then a Democrat asks questions for 5 minutes, and it comes back to the prosecutor. But what's your sense of what it is she's trying to do? Because it doesn't feel, if she's trying to poke holes in the story, have you heard any yet?
No, I mean, there's small questions she's asking about where she lived and how she got back home, for example, or she already talked about her fear of flying, which she's brought up in terms of being scared of closed spaces. But there hasn't been any smoking gun, so to speak, that really raises doubts about what she's saying. So I don't know if she's leading somewhere. I don't know if this all ends with some big revelation of information that she has. But thus far, I can't imagine many Republicans are feeling good about what they're watching.
Well, at one point, the Democratic Senator Patrick Leahy asked her what she remembered from that night. Let's listen.
What is the strongest memory you have? Strongest memory of the incident? Something that you cannot forget? Take whatever time you need.
Indelible in the hippocampus is the laughter, the uproarious laughter between the two, and they're having fun at my expense.
The two, she says, were the two young men, Brett Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge, who she said, was in that room and actually jumped on her and Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh was holding her down, she says, and that's when she was able to get away. That moment, Julian.
Yeah, it's horrendous to listen to, and you can imagine the horror that she still feels as she recounts it. And that says, if this is all true, it really says a lot about his character in basically a sentence. And she conveys it as someone who's not polished, who's not all prepared for this. This is just her very real memory of a very specific person who's now on the cusp of going to the Supreme Court.
She was asked several times, why didn't you talk about this earlier? And she said, well, actually, I did. to my therapist, to her husband, because she had to explain why when they were renovating their home at one point, she desperately wanted another front door. And she talked about feeling claustrophobic. And that's how this all became part of her therapy. But Rachel Mitchell is the sex crimes prosecutor, again, asking questions on behalf of the Republicans, and is questioning, had been questioning some of those smaller details and details about who Ford told about the incident and how it was described in her therapist's notes. Let's listen.
Would it be fair to say that Brett Kavanaugh's name is not listed in those notes?
His name is not listed in those notes.
Would it also be fair to say that the therapist notes that we've been talking about say that there were four boys in the room?
It describes the sexual assault, and it says erroneously by four boys. So the therapist got the content of it wrong.
And you corrected that to the Washington Post reporter, correct?
Correct.
Well, she explained again today that there were two other boys, but they were downstairs. It doesn't feel, unless, as you said, there's going to be a big denouement, it doesn't feel as if the line of questioning is going anywhere.
That's true. I just don't, from watching this morning, she doesn't stand up to the power of Dr. Ford testifying. And so the only real question in my mind are those seeds of doubt enough to be used in the partisan machine of the Republican Party to move forward and to say that's enough to question the credibility. But just on paper, these kinds of questions really don't mean much compared to the absolute certainty that you're hearing from Dr. Ford about what happened and who did it.
Yeah. What do you think happens now, especially since you have President Trump seeming to not, I wouldn't say waver, but there was a little bit of an opening yesterday when he said, I want to listen to the Kavanaugh hearings. Let's see. I want to listen. But he also admitted to a reporter that, let's listen. He was asked, your own personal experience, has that affected how you feel about Kavanaugh? Let's listen.
I've been accused, and I was accused by, I believe it was four women. You can check with Sean Hannity. You can check with Fox, because they covered it very strongly. Who got paid? Excuse me. I was accused by four or five women who got paid a lot of money to make up stories about me. We caught them. And the mainstream media refused to put it on television. They refused to even write about it. There were four women, and maybe more. I think the number is four or five. But one had a mortgage paid off her house, $52,000. Another one had other things happen. And the one that reported it, I believe, was offered $750,000 to say bad things about me. And she is the one that reported it. This woman is incredible. She reported it instead of taking the money. So I've had numerous accusations about me.
Right.
They made false statements about me, knowing they were false. I never met them. I never met these people.
Well, the important part of that sound comes right after when the reporter, who kept saying, yes, I understand, and then said, but is this coloring how you feel about Kavanaugh? And he said, yeah, it is.
At least he's honest. And I think it's true. I think the two things coloring how Republicans respond, one has to do as a party with the imperative of getting the court to shift to the right. But for President Trump, it's also very personal. And he is very consistent in being pretty hostile when these kinds of accusations are made toward the women who are making them. And I think some of this stems from what he himself has been accused of. So it's very personal for him. And I think that's how he views all of this last week.
Julian, can you think, obviously we had another moment in history. We had recent history, the Clarence Thomas, Anita Hill testimony. But that did not go as wide as this had to include the president and this moment in time. Can you think of another moment in time that's like this?
Well, look, we have very partisan periods in the 19th century. You had members of Congress fighting with each other on the floor of the House and Senate, physically fighting with each other. So we do break down as a country. We do break down as a democracy. But certainly this will fall on the list of really bad moments for us as a nation. And it comes a few days after we saw the UN laughing at the President of the United States. I think all these stories fit together.
Yeah. We're thinking of that when he spoke of Kavanaugh. That was at his UN news conference,
yep,
where he also went on to say, I heard from the King of Saudi Arabia, a great guy, and I heard from other, like 12 other leaders. I started to realize that peace between Israel and the Palestinians is a very important thing. A president just coming to that realization. It's a fascinating time. Julian Zelitzer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.